back.
That's right. Welcome to the No Panic Zone. I'm Steve Gruber. God bless America. It is, I don't know what day it is. 26th? Thursday. I know that. I 25th. There we go. Good. We're out of sorts. We're at CPAC 2021. All good, my friends. The three big things you need to know right now. Number 3, Tiger Woods recovering from a wicked rollover accident. The injuries to his lower right leg, apparently extensive. Steel rods, pins, and screws. We'll talk about that. Number 2, following withering attacks from Republicans and Democrats alike, the Emmy Award-winning Democrat governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, now facing new allegations of being a sexual predator. And number 1, give up the codes, Mr. President. In a remarkable development, and I say remarkable, never in my lifetime have I heard anything like this come down the pike, but here it is. Democrats in the House, at least 32 now, suggesting that the president of the United States, Joe Biden, the most popular man to ever run for the office, we're told, should not have the nuclear codes. He should not have the sole authority to launch a nuclear attack. I mean, this is a remarkable development because Donald Trump faced the same sort of scrutiny. Donald Trump was targeted for having his power pared back when it came to nuclear weapons and the nuclear launch codes. But that came from Democrats as well. This is the Democrats taking on their own president, their own party. Almost 3 dozen Democratic lawmakers signing onto this letter, asking President Joe Biden to give up his sole authority to launch a nuclear strike. Jimmy Panetta of California wrote this: vesting one person with this authority entails real risk. Past presidents have threatened to attack other countries with nuclear weapons or exhibited behavior that caused other officials to express concern about the president's judgment. Of course, they targeted Donald Trump at that point, whose state of mind concerned lawmakers, at least that's what they said. Donald Trump, of course, being the only president in my lifetime, in modern times, not to take America into a new war. And yet they were concerned about him. But this is different. This is the Democrats admitting Joe Biden is not capable of doing the job. This is Democrats admitting he is compromised already. He was compromised when he took the job, and he's compromised today. Kamala Harris is somewhere across the street going, pretty soon I'll have keys to the White House. There's no question that this sets the stage for Democrats to say Joe Biden is not capable to continue as president of the United States. Do you hear him when it's gibberish? He comes out to talk about pick your topic, and it's gibberish. And that's with the help of a teleprompter. Good Lord, he is just not all there. It is frightening to watch to me. I'm sure it'll come up this week at CPAC. So here we are at CPAC. I want to give you some information on that. CPAC 2021. Normally it's in National Harbor, Maryland, right in the shadow of Washington, D.C. We've been there for years. Ivy and I go there. Sarah and Chance join us. We bring our whole team there. Not this year, of course, because that is a closed district. So Matt Schlapp and the folks that put together the Conservative Political Action Conference every year said, we're going to go to Florida. And the birds flew and the trumpets played and the angels sang because they went to Florida where it's a free state. Governor Ron DeSantis has turned Florida into a place where people can actually go. And it is remarkable to go from Michigan, where I live, to Florida, where the CPAC is happening here in Orlando. And look at the level of business that's happening. The commerce that's going on. First of all, we flew down here on a full plane. Full plane. Social distancing? Nobody cared. Got your mask on? Great. You're eating your Cheetos or whatever it was, and drinking your water, drinking your coffee. Masks are on, masks are off. Plane is full. And these people are celebrating the fact they can go to a free state where they're going to be able to walk around, conduct themselves as well as Americans, frankly, and not as serfs under the rule of the king. So we arrive in Florida. So anyhow, we come down here in full flights. The flights are full. And then I have a little special occasion happen. We pull into a little side parking lot, one of those, the cell phone lots where they have outside of airports where people wait to pick up others and so on. So we wing in there because we have to figure out where we're going. Naturally, Ivy's driving, and I'm trying to get a suntan. And we wheel in there, and she's talking to somebody. And I look out the side of the car, and right there on the ground is a $50 bill. I said, Ivy, there's a fish. She says, there is, not right there. And I jump out of the car, and I grab. And so the welcoming committee for me was Ulysses S. Grant, There he was smiling at me, giving me a little wink, $50. Hey, welcome to Florida. Here's $50. Enjoy your stay. Which I think I will. So CPAC this year, the headline, of course, is the president, the former president, Donald Trump, coming here on Sunday. Former President Donald Trump coming to Orlando on Sunday. It's a short drive for him now because, of course, he's in Mar-a-Lago. He's now a Florida resident. And the question everyone is asking is, what is on the political landscape? What is in the future for the former president, the 45th president of the United States? Is he going to talk about that? I mean, there's some people suggesting he should run for Congress because he would certainly get in. Republicans very likely to take over Congress in less than 2 years now, mathematically speaking. He could have a great impact there. Of course, Kevin McCarthy wouldn't like that all that much because he's in line to become Speaker of the House. But there's a straw poll going on at CPAC, as there is every year, so we'll find out what the people here. We're going to take the temperature of the folks here as to who they think should be president next time around, who the nominees should be. And I've got to tell you, it's going to be Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump leading the field. Other names that may float around could be Governor Kristi Noem of South Dakota. Candace Owens getting a lot of play online when I asked this question. Candace Owens, very popular. But CPAC, like so many things, different than it was a year ago. See, when we left here a year ago, I mean, I got on the plane, we went home. And there was some talk of the pandemic then, but it wasn't a big conversation. It was there, but it wasn't a big deal. And we got home, and a few days later, 3 or 4 days later, we were going to meet a couple of friends to go out for dinner. And we were listening to the news, and it let us know that there had been a person at CPAC who tested positive for COVID. So we didn't know much about it. So we called the vice president of the cluster of radio stations that this program originates. We called the regional vice president of Town Square and said, what do you think? And she said, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's a big deal. And I said, she goes, I'll call you back. No big deal. Not like it turned into, is what I'm telling you, right? So she called back a couple hours. I said, well, you know, you guys have the gear and the equipment. Why don't you just broadcast remotely for a couple of weeks? No big deal. Take the 14 days. And I said, fine. So we took everything off-site and constructed a new studio for radio, for television, for all that we do. And then about that time, 2-3 weeks later, is when it all hit the fan. And people were scrambling and trying to figure out how to broadcast and how to get on the air and how to make things happen. And Ivy and I were sitting there going, I guess that worked out for us. It's almost as cool as finding $50 in the parking lot, you know, getting prepared ahead of time. But anyhow, so that worked out, and that came out of CPAC last year. But here we are a year later. I never would have thought a year later. In fact, I don't think a lot of people thought that. In March, when things were shutting down for the 2 weeks, I don't think anybody thought that we'd be here a year later going, man, everything's still shut down, socially distanced, everybody walks in wearing a mask, and so on and so forth. I think that we're in a place that no one could have predicted. The question I have for you, though, coming back after the break, the question I have for you, is there really anything government can do to control the virus? It's been tried a variety of ways around the world, including here in the United States. Democrats try to tell you how badly we've done, but look around. We've done about the same as everyone else. 14 after, it's the Steve Gerber Show live from CPAC 2021. We'll be right back.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce.
We represent the bakers, auto repair shops, manufacturers, small business owners. Our job is to help businesses succeed by giving them a voice against restrictive regulations and overreaching government. Our commitment is to create and promote good public policy that will restore a strong, healthy economy. Our focus is being your champion for free enterprise. We are the Michigan Chamber, and we stand ready to fight for Michigan.
To learn more about the Michigan Chamber and how to become a member, visit michamber.com.
Recently, I spent time with a group of young people who were hearing impaired and deaf. This is Johnny Erickson Tata, and I'd like to pass on some tips on how you can reach out to people who are deaf. First, talk directly to the deaf person and not to the sign language interpreter. Second, if the deaf person speaks and you don't understand, don't pretend that you know what he said. Instead, ask him to repeat his statement or write it down. Third, be careful not to cover your face. Many deaf friends rely partially on lip reading in order to understand what you're saying. Also, don't talk too fast. Be patient, even if it takes a while to converse. And lastly, don't yell. Sometimes people even yell at those of us in wheelchairs, and that can be embarrassing. But most importantly, don't back away. Don't be shy. These are just some deaf etiquette tips for you, and there's more at disabilitycampaign.org.
The MHSAA Network features several games every week on Comcast Channel 900 and on the MHSAA.tv website. Check out MHSAA Game Night every Wednesday at 7 p.m. on Comcast. If you'd like to see MHSAA Network programming on your local cable system, visit the MHSAA website for more information. A message from the Michigan High School Athletic Association, promoting the value and values of educational athletics.